Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Greatest Event of All Time.
The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We are celebrating the greatest event in all of history today, that our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins, is risen again from the dead. He is alive and alive forevermore. And He did all this to save us, to give us eternal life, and to make us immortal with Him in His kingdom. Think about that, to make you immortal with Him in His kingdom. Do you believe this? Well, I know you do. And are you sure of it? I know that you are. But today, so that we can be clearer and the stronger in our faith in the Lord's resurrection, I'd like to take a look at these 12 questions I came up with concerning the Lord's resurrection in order to make it all the clearer and stronger and to confirm you in the great faith that you have, which gives you victory even to eternal life. So we're going to look at, was Christ actually really raised? Is that a historical event? And we're going to do this briefly, don't worry. Why is it the most important event ever? The greatest. And the greatest and most important thing to preach about. How do people actually respond to this when you preach the resurrection to them? Why don't many believe it? Is it hard or easy for Christ, and that is for God, to raise the dead? Is it illogical and unnatural? Is there any evidence or proof? Did God foretell it? And here's the big one I want to look at you with is, what's Jesus' resurrection mean for us? What will it mean for us on the last day, and what will we be like? How far away is that day? So let's take a look at that, and we're going to look at it fairly briefly, but these are powerful because these are God's words, which I'm going to share with you. In them is the power of Christ's resurrection to raise you also to eternal life. So let's look, and the first question here we have, was Christ really raised? Is that just wishful thinking? Is that a fairy tale or a fantasy, or is that a historical event? God declares that to us very clearly through the apostles. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and following. Peter says this, 23 and following, he says, "Men of Israel, hear this. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And then he says, "This Jesus God raised up, of that we are all witnesses." So, is it a historical event? It was seed, friends. The disciples, the apostles themselves, saw and felt and touched Jesus after he was raised from the dead, placing their fingers in the mark of the nails and in the wound in his side. Eyewitness accounts, not only of Peter, but Paul says, "For this we deliver to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 brethren at one time, then to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Let me ask you a question. Here's your quiz. How many witnesses do we need to establish a fact according to God's word in Scripture? On the evidence of two or three Scriptures, a thing and a fact shall be established. How many do we have here? Over 500. And God himself has borne witness to it through his apostles. And Jesus has borne witness. See, I'm alive. Touch me and feel me. Friends, it is a historical fact that Christ rose from the dead on the third day. Praise God, oh glorious day. Why is this the most important event ever? Well, when was the last time you saw someone get up from the dead? Especially someone who claimed to be the chosen of one of God to save the world, who is then lacerated, he's sentenced scandalously, He's crucified on the cross. He's torn to shreds. He's killed. He goes into a tomb. They seal it with a great stone, like 4 tons or something, guarded by soldiers. And this guy gets up 3 days later, walks out cheerfully like an Olympic champion. See, I'm alive again. And there are no wounds left, save only the marks in his hand, the print in his side, to mark the occasion as an emblem of his victory and salvation. You ever see that before? Anybody? It's the greatest event of all time. And why is it the greatest thing for us to preach about? Well, because this message that I'm declaring to you is not just Jesus was raised, but there is power in the preached message of resurrection power of the Christ to raise you from the dead too. What I'm preaching to you today, because if we look over here at Romans 10 verse 9, hear these words. Romans 10 verse 9 says this, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Think about those words. What are we going to get saved from? Death. Aren't you afraid of death in some sense? Judgment, hell, the wrath to come, the last day. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God declares you will be saved. You're set free, and you'll be raised to life as well, now and at the last day in your bodies. It's the best word forever, and it's the most important to preach that you'll ever hear what you're hearing right now, because it gives you life eternal, if you believe it. So the next question is, how do people usually respond to this? You ever get out there and share the gospel and talk with people about the resurrection of the dead? Well, we look over here in the book of Acts, we can see how it went for Paul when he was preaching Christ being raised from the dead. He preached men of Athens when he was in Athens speaking to the Greeks. He preached to them the gospel, and at the end of it he says, "This the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness. And of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." And then, so when he preaches the resurrection, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. You know, they laughed at it. They thought Paul was crazy. It's nonsense. But others said, we'll hear you again about this. We'll investigate it some more. But some men joined him and believed. So when you guys share the gospel and the resurrection of Christ and you tell people, I believe he got up from the dead, how do people respond to that? A lot of people will think this is nonsense. The greater percentage of the world doesn't believe what I'm preaching to you today. They think it's crazy. As Festus told Paul, you're mad. You're great learning, Paul. It's turning you mad. You're crazy for this great studying that you're doing. It's turning you crazy. Others, though, say, but yeah, but, you know, these promises are so great. It's at least worth a further investigation. But then some join him and believe. Are you of those who have joined him and believed? Well, it is the power of Christ to save those who believe this message. So why don't people believe it, though? I mean, when you preach it to them, this is the greatest news ever. Why would someone reject this message? Well, they give a number of reasons. Some of them are, well, it's just too hard. I mean, you really literally mean that you think a guy claiming to be God in the flesh, the chosen one to save the world, died, was completely brutally ripped apart and killed, and he got up on the third day and is walking around like an Olympic champion? Are you crazy? They think it's just too hard because I've never seen it before. And when you preach that everybody's going to be raised on the last day, they're like, that's even harder. How's God going to raise everybody who's ever lived? How is that possible? It's too hard. It's too extreme. I don't believe it. Another thing is they say it's illogical. It just doesn't make sense. It's not good for my reason to think that, because it's unnatural. You see, everything I ever see in nature, when it dies, it stays dead. And so this is completely unnatural that someone should rise from the dead. It doesn't make sense according to nature's laws. And you have no evidence in your corner. Where's the proof for Jesus being raised from the dead? So go the objections. And there's other ones they might throw out there. But let's take a look at these now. Is it hard for, this is number five, is it hard or easy for God to raise the dead? Remember what we read there in Genesis chapter 18 when God tells Sarah and Abraham, you're going to have a baby next year. Oh, wait a second. Sarah laughs at it. She, that's impossible. How's that? I'm way beyond childbearing years. How could I have another, how could I have a baby? A baby. But God said to her, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? God didn't laugh about it. And by the time he came the next year, she had a child. Also, you see, with Moses in the wilderness, remember they got 600,000 people? Can you imagine that? 600,000 walking through desert lands with no food. There's not any, there's no grocery stores. There's no Walmart. There's no food anywhere. They're grumbling. God says, by this time tomorrow, you'll all eat so much, you won't be able to sustain the amount of food I'm going to give you. Moses himself at that time said, how on earth? That's impossible. How on earth could you feed everybody here when there's no food today? And God's word to him, listen carefully, in Numbers 11, he says, Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word shall come true for you or not. And by the next day, God had brought a great wind from the sea and brought in the quails, and they fell about the camp, and the people ate so much they couldn't contain it all. They were filled. And God fulfilled his word. Paul, when he's preaching the resurrection to King Agrippa and to Festus in Acts 26, he said to them, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? In other words, people don't believe it, but why is that incredible to you? Is it hard or easy for God to raise the dead? Have we not forgotten who we're dealing with here? If I ask my friend here, Kevin, raise the dead, I would have some problems with that. Okay? Although he could probably do it with God's help. But God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the sea that we saw this morning on the beach, I came out this morning and the stars were in the sky. And the Bible says God brings each of these stars out, calling them by name each night and by the greatness of his might. And because he's strong in power, not one of them is missing. He upholds these things. And you think that God has trouble raising the dead? He created you in the first place, didn't he? You're here, right? Let me try you, if you don't mind. He's a real guy, strong guy, too. Now, if God can create you in the first place, what's the harder, to create you out of nothing and or to, after creating you when you expire, to raise you from the dead? Which is harder? It's harder to create you in the first place. You believe the greater miracle, why not the lesser miracle that it's easy for God to raise the dead? God says, look and remember who I am. I speak and I dry up the sea. I create the stormy waters and I calm them down again. I make everything that you see. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's easy, friends. Say the word easy with me.
Easy.
I could even say easy peasy. For God, this is a piece of cake. And he raised Christ from the dead, and he also promises to raise you as well in him. So that's as for the hard or easy. Let's look at number six. But it's illogical. It doesn't make sense to my reason that God should raise the dead. It's completely unnatural. Everything in nature stays dead, so they say. Is it really illogical? Is it really unnatural, though? Consider with me on that one that all of nature preaches to you the resurrection all the time. You know, God set up the laws of nature. It's logical that he's also able to override those laws of nature whenever he feels like it. And in fact, things in nature don't necessarily stay dead. Martin Luther said, the resurrection is written not only on the pages of Scripture, but on every green leaf of spring. Every year we see the whole world go into death in the winter, if you're up north, and then it springs and rises to life again each year. It's preaching the resurrection. If you think of the caterpillar, it dies and goes into a chrysalis only to rise a butterfly. And you, every night you go to sleep, right? You lay down as if dead, and each morning you rise for a new life, and you get a cup of coffee and you feel even greater. All of nature, friends, it's logical. It's the way nature works. It's constantly preaching to you, resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. It's not illogical, but logical. It's not unnatural, but actually supernatural and very natural. God says the resurrection of the dead. That's the way things go. And I want you to see it, if you have eyes to see. But there's no evidence for these things. But there's no proof that Christ rose from the dead, so they say. No evidence. Number one, we got 500 witnesses, eyewitnesses, which would stand up in court. But also, let me ask, where's the body? Anybody know where the body is? Did the Jews steal the body? Would that make sense? If the Jews stole the body and they want to stop Christianity, just show me the body and we get rid of Christianity. They didn't have it. The Romans, did they steal it? No reason. By the way, if the soldiers stole the body, you get killed. So they had no reason to steal it. They didn't have it. The disciples didn't steal it because, after all, they were terrified. They were cowering behind closed and shut doors. And a day later, they're out there boldly preaching Christ raised. They had to have met the Lord Christ. Did Jesus just he just fainted and swooned? Oh, he was just mostly dead and then came back. Really? This guy was cut to pieces. Jesus was pierced with a spear. He went into the grave. And then somehow, 3 days later, he kind of recovers and pushes aside a 4-ton stone and comes out like Superman. That just doesn't happen, friends, unless you're Jesus Christ. And the evidence is that Jesus is alive because his body was raised. Well, how about, did God foretell these things? Did he tell us ahead of time that he's going to do this? Does God ever lie? Anybody want to claim that God lies to you? God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent, it says in Numbers. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? He keeps his word to you. And what his word was to you, that he would raise Christ. You can see it in Isaiah, that when my son, the righteous one, shall make himself an offering for sin after being buried with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, after he's dead, he's going to come alive again and he'll see his offspring. That's you guys. He'll prolong his days and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He will rise, said God in the Old Testament. And Jesus predicted it as well to the apostles. He says, pretty soon we're going to go up to Jerusalem. And when we go up there, I'll be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles. They'll spit upon me. They're going to mock me. They're going to shamefully treat me. And they're going to crucify and kill me. But on the third day, I will rise. Jesus speaks the truth. He is the God of truth. And his word ahead of time was, I'm rising from the dead. So we have all of this. And Paul says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. That's the fact, friends. Say the word fact. It's the truth. It's a historical event. Let's get to the big question, though. What does this mean for us? That Jesus rose from the dead, what does that mean for us personally? First thing it means is that, watch this, that Christ's death on the cross was accepted by God as a just payment for all of your crimes, all of your sins and guilt, because he wouldn't have raised Christ unless he accepted that price paid. Amen?
Amen.
We can read that in the scriptures. I have it in a little note right here. Let's take a look. If Christ has not been raised, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, if he hasn't been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Christ didn't get raised from the dead, then God didn't accept his sacrifice. But if Christ was raised from the dead, he accepted that payment. And then you can be sure that you are accepted through faith in him. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But if Christ has been raised, your faith is not futile, but powerful to justify you. And you are not still in your sins. You are justified by faith in him. Isn't this marvelous news? Look, if this was unsatisfactory, if that was not enough on that cross, if that was insufficient to pay for the penalty of all of your sins, God would have left him in the grave. But because you raised him, that's God's stamp, divine approval upon it, saying, that was acceptable to me for the sins of the whole world. Come and believe in him and you will be saved. Because God accepted his sacrifice, and it's proven by his resurrection, you believing on him now can be accepted by God and sure of it. Are you sure of it today?
Yeah.
Faith in Jesus Christ. The resurrection proves you are justified, welcomed, loved, and saved, a friend of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first. A second of three is that Secondly, his resurrection means your eternal life. It's joy for you today because Jesus said to his disciples, I'll not leave you desolate, I'll come to you. A little while yet, and you'll see me no more. Again a little while, and you'll see me. And because I live, you shall live also. Notice those words, say the word because.
Because.
He says, because I live, you're going to live also. In other words, if Jesus only died on the cross for us, but wasn't raised, that would be of no use to you. Because what's the use of a dead Savior? But he says, because I get up, and I'm alive again, I'm going to give you my eternal life by connecting you and uniting you with me. Think about that. We live because he lives. Romans 5, verse 10, Paul says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, that's the cross, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Did you catch that? So, the cross reconciles you, his death, but over here, his life saves you. He died for your sins to reconcile you, but because he lives, you're going to live also. I'll connect you to me. I will come into you. We'll connect like this, and pouring into you through that floodgate will be eternal life. Through how? Faith in the gospel, for God so loved the world. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And in baptism, in those waters, we were buried with him in baptism into his death, so that as Christ rose from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. Oh my goodness, do you get this, friends? Because Jesus died, and you're buried with him in baptism, you're down, and you're raised in your spirit inside to live already alive before God because he lives. It means your eternal life. That's joy for you today. And thirdly, it's a future joy and good comfort and hope because Christ says your body soon will be raised like mine because you're connected with me. Romans 6, verse 5, if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If you're connected, if you're joined, if you're united with him who is now alive again, you'll live not just your spirit, but your body will be raised as well at the last day. John 6, verse 40, Jesus says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that fabulous, friends? Is your body getting worn out? Having trouble with your eye? Having trouble with your energy? Having trouble with your disease? Whatever it is? Well, your spirit's raised already, but your body, it's got good hope, friends. The grave will not hold you. Jesus says, I will raise you up as well in your body. And what's it going to be like? What's that mean for us on the last day? Well, you're going to be raised to a wonderful world because John 5, Jesus says, the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear my voice and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life. Those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment. The wicked, the enemies, the rebels of God will be raised to their destiny, condemnation, the outer darkness, and hell. But the saints will be raised to their destiny, the kingdom to come. Oh, friends, we're getting close to the end. Pay attention here. What is God raising to you to in your new body? He says, I raise you, and this is through John in Revelation 21, I'm raising you to, I'll make a new heavens above you. I'll make a new earth for you to enjoy forever, where everything's good, right, and just, and pure. I'm going to come over there and wipe every tear from your eyes. I'm going to remove from you all of your pains. I'll take away from you all of your sorrows. And I personally, the last enemy that I'll destroy, shall be death. And it'll just be life for everyone. For he who sits upon the throne says, behold, I make all things new. You shall be my sons, and I'll be your father. Enjoy, and that into a forever friendship in my wonderful kingdom. That's what we're raised for. That's what the resurrection means for us. On the last day, you're raised to the new world. That's permanent and glorious and joyful and free forever. So praise be to God for Jesus Christ's resurrection. What will we be like? Number 11. What will we be like on that day? Well, you're going to be changed. Ready for that one? In a twinkling of an eye, just bat your eyelash, like that at the last trumpet, whammo, changed. And what are you going to look like? Well, the Bible says, Philippians 3, God, Jesus, is going to change your lowly body. You're lowly right now. You're going to be changed to be like his glorious body by that same power with which he can subject all things to himself, because he's God. He's going to make you look like his own body, which is shining in glory and forever. Man, that's what we're talking about today. That is what we're talking about today. And friends, it's the God honest truth. It's a historical fact and a beautiful world and a heavenly kingdom, permanent forever. And how far away is that day? How long do we have to wait for all of this? Question 12. You don't have to wait long. He says, last word in the Bible, behold, I'm coming soon. And we say, amen, come Lord Jesus, bring it, because that's what we want to see. And so, it's a happily ever after, a happy ending, you could say, but it's really not an ending. It's a start of a forever world with him of joy. A fact, friends, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried and on the third day raised according to the scriptures on the third day. To what? To make you alive, to give you the kingdom, to raise you up as well, to enjoy that kingdom with him forever. The greatest event ever. So be of good cheer today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on that kingdom to which we are bound. For God says in Isaiah 60, we'll conclude with this. He says, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. And in its time, I will hasten it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Greatest Event of All Time, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Olde Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.